NBC News World Headquarters in New York. This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. I'm Kate Snow in for Lester tonight, and there is an intense manhunt underway in Turkey. Police there releasing new images today of the man they say stormed into a nightclub just after partygoers rang in the new year, opening fire and killing at least 39 people. ISIS has now claimed responsibility for that attack, raising new questions about the terror group's potential in 2017. And as the investigation continues, we're learning more about what happened in less than 10 minutes inside the club that night, including exclusive new details from an American who was shot and trapped. Our chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel, is in Istanbul.
Tonight, a hunt is on for this man. Turkish media broadcast this selfie video he reportedly took days before he ran into a nightclub and unloaded into the crowds on New Year's Eve. 27 of the 39 people killed were foreign tourists from Israel to Lebanon, India, and beyond. Among the dozens injured was American Jake Rock. He told us hundreds had just welcomed in the new year when a gunman burst in. Today, Rock was recovering from a gunshot wound.
I was probably the luckiest person in the whole thing. I do find myself very fortunate. I was with 9 people. 7 of us were shot.
Hiding under a bench, pretending to be dead, Rock suffered through the pain, fearing any sound or move would betray him to the gunman.
He was walking on a bench above my head, where my head was underneath. When he shot me, I didn't move. I just let him shoot me.
ISIS said the attacker who shot unarmed people was a soldier of the brave caliphate.
The gunman was firing at victims inside the club for 7 to 10 minutes, reloading multiple times, witnesses say, and still managed to escape, even though there's a police station just across the street.
ISIS appears set to be on the offensive in 2017. Today, ISIS said it killed dozens in a bombing in Baghdad. Just last month, that deadly truck attack in Berlin, and now Istanbul.
Rock and his friends believe the gunman had help inside the club. Turkey has released images of the gunman and says it has its fingerprints, but has yet to find him. The fear here is that he could slip into ISIS territory in Syria before they do. Kate?
Richard Engel in Turkey tonight. With just 18 days until the inauguration, President-elect Trump faces fire from both sides of the aisle tonight. He's raising concerns by suggesting he will share new revelations that, quote, other people don't know about the cyber attacks during the U.S. election. This as his advisors continue to question U.S. intelligence about Russia's involvement. NBC's Kristen Welker has details.
Tonight, new fallout after that cryptic New Year's Eve statement by President-elect Donald Trump that he might have more information to reveal about those hacking allegations against Russia.
I also know things that other people don't know, and so they cannot be sure of the situation, and I want them to be sure.
Today, the president-elect's team pressed for details about what Mr. Trump knows and whether he'll make it public before his midweek meeting with intelligence officials.
What does he know, Sean?
We'll wait till Tuesday or Wednesday. What we're really trying to figure out is how certain are they of the intelligence, number one. Number two, how proportional is the response to what happened?
On Sunday, a plane carrying 35 expelled Russian diplomats left the United States, part of President Obama's retaliation against Russia after he says the country hacked the emails of some top Democrats, all of it setting up a potential showdown between Mr. Trump, who has cast doubt on Russia's involvement, and Congress, including some members of his own party.
It is clear that Russia has attacked the United States of America. All of our intelligence agencies will affirm that being the case.
President-elect Trump, he wishes the Russia issue would go away. But Republican hawks on Capitol Hill, like Senator John McCain, they're going to make sure it doesn't.
The president-elect is also drawing battle lines in other areas, making his intentions clear at a New Year's Eve party at his Florida resort over the weekend.
We're going to do a good job. Okay? Taxes are coming down. Regulations are coming off. We're going to get rid of Obamacare because...
On Wednesday, President Obama will head to Capitol Hill to strategize with Democrats about ways to preserve Obamacare. And earlier today, he announced to deliver a farewell address in Chicago next Tuesday. Kate.
Kristen Welker following the transition. Kristen, thank you. A treacherous night for anybody still trying to make it home from holiday travel. Thousands of flights have been delayed and road conditions remain hazardous across much of the country's midsection from a wintry blast of snow and rain. In the south tonight, millions more are on alert for potential thunderstorms and tornadoes. Jacob Rascone is tracking all of it from Dallas.
A messy start to the new year across the country. The South pummeled by severe thunderstorms. A tornado touching down in Mississippi. Flash flood warnings in Jackson, Alabama. Damage in Marksville, Louisiana, and a direct hit in Houston, Texas, where Kevin Masterson says lightning caused a fire in his house while he was still inside.
You could tell it was bad very quickly, that we had to get out.
Further north across the Great Plains, another severe system dumping snow and ice. Crews having trouble keeping up with the slick roads. Typical weather this time of year for the Dakotas and Minnesota, but in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle saw its first substantial snow on New Year's in 5 decades.
Millions will be affected by these severe storms. There could be isolated tornadoes, torrential downpours, and this whole system moves into the mid-Atlantic by tomorrow.
From the west to the deep south, a not-so-warm welcome to 2017. Jacob Rascone, NBC News, Dallas.
There are new details now about that mid-air crash between two private planes over Texas on New Year's Eve. Three people on board the planes were killed, including a retired Air Force pilot and his son, an Air Force Academy student. NBC's Tom Costello crunched the numbers and discovered that Texas tragedy caps off the worst year for mid-air fatalities in nearly 20 years.
It happened just before sunset.
Man, a plane crash. Holy smokes.
The burning wreckage of two private planes crashing to the ground in McKinney, Texas.
I just don't know that there's any chance they could make it.
In one of the planes, Greg Barber, a retired veteran Air Force pilot, and his son Tim, hoping to follow in his father's footsteps as a freshman at the Air Force Academy, both loved in their hometown.
It's hard for my family to recover because he meant so much.
The pilot of the second plane still not identified. The NTSB says both planes were operating under visual flight rules without air traffic control when they slammed into each other. The crash brings to 18 the number of people killed in private plane mid-air collisions in 2016. 18. That's the highest number of fatalities since 1997, according to an NBC News review of NTSB data. Just 6 weeks ago, the NTSB issued a safety alert for mid-air collisions.
Pilots have an obligation to look for and avoid other aircraft, even when flying in controlled airspace.
Urging private pilots to radio each other and add collision avoidance technology to their cockpits. Ironically, the total number of general aviation crashes has actually fallen to the lowest level in decades. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association says improvements in training and technology have brought general aviation safety to a new high. But in Texas tonight,
he built a tremendous legacy.
Heartbreak and questions over yet another fatal mid-air collision. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Some scary moments in the sky for an airport baggage handler when he got trapped inside the pressurized cargo hold of a United Express flight from Charlotte, North Carolina to Washington, D.C.'s Dulles Airport. The plane took off yesterday with the employee stuck inside. He was freed only after it touched down. Fortunately, he was not hurt. Tech giant Apple faces a new lawsuit over a popular app used by millions. Parents in Texas contend a driver was distracted while using Apple's FaceTime when he hit their car and killed their 5-year-old daughter. The suit questions whether Apple should do more to stop accidents just like this. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has that story.
5-year-old Mariah Modisette was in her family car when she was killed in a violent Christmas Eve accident in Denton County, Texas. Police charged Garrett Wilhelm with manslaughter after his SUV slammed into the vehicle. The case still pending. He's pled not guilty. But now, 2 years after the crash, in a lawsuit just filed, the Modisette family blames Apple for letting Wilhelm use its popular FaceTime app while driving, saying in court documents the company could disable the app while users are behind the wheel. Apple Inc. failed to configure the iPhone 6 Plus to lock out the ability for a driver to utilize Apple's FaceTime application while driving at highway speed.
It may be a good policy question over whether companies can do more to prevent the misuse of their products. But judges generally don't want that kind of decision made in a courtroom.
The lawsuit against the tech giant comes as software designers face more scrutiny for apps where drivers could be distracted, including Snapchat and Pokemon Go, which include warnings against using the app and driving.
When people are taking their attention away from the driving task, crashes can occur in a split second.
Tonight, Apple says it doesn't comment on pending litigation. But the family of this 5-year-old contends the tech giant is to blame for the death of their little girl. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
A late development tonight in the Charleston Church massacre trial. A U.S. district judge has now ruled Dylan Roof competent to represent himself during the sentencing phase of his trial, which now begins Wednesday. Roof was convicted last month on 33 charges for the deaths of 9 African-American churchgoers back in 2015. There is more concern tonight about the health of Queen Elizabeth after illness forced her to miss New Year's Day church services. Buckingham Palace said the Queen, who is now 90, is still recovering from a, quote, heavy cold. Illness also forced her to skip Christmas church services for the first time in nearly 3 decades. Back now with new ways to keep your kids safe while they're glued to their phones. So many kids got new devices for the holidays. But what is your child doing and who are they in contact with on that new smartphone? Well, there's an app for that. Our national investigative correspondent Jeff Rawson shows us how parents are using new tools to take control in tonight's Rawson Reports.
Kids leading secret lives on their phones. But now, 3 smartphone apps designed to help you monitor their every move. Perfect for the Totolis and their 2 teenage kids.
So we've downloaded the apps on your kids' phones.
Okay.
See, and we can monitor everything from your laptop right here.
Awesome.
First, there's NetNanny.
The cool thing about this one is you can actually choose the exact websites that you want blocked on your kids' phones.
That's great. Awesome.
But it goes a step further. You can block the type of website. So dating sites, nudity, pornography, tobacco. You can block those.
Super helpful, yeah.
But it goes even a step further than that. Suicide, for example. You can set it to warn mode so you will get a warning if your kid types suicide in.
That's super helpful, I think, because of the cyberbullying, everything that happens in the teen's life that's so common today.
App number 2 does even more, called Secure Teen.
This one gives you your kids' call logs, but it goes even a step further than that. You can actually read your kids' text messages.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
As scary as that may be.
I know. It's a great tool.
But app number 3 may be the most advanced of all, called TeenSafe. Even pinpointing your child's exact GPS location instantly.
Any mom who has a kid who drives.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
This app actually gives you the exact coordinates of where he is at any given time, no matter where he is. Like, we have him called up right
awesome.
Here.
Awesome. Oh, I see him there in the deli.
And the app is right. We actually have a camera with her son, and he is at that deli.
And here's the coolest thing of all. We obviously worry about texting and driving.
Absolutely. We tell my kid all the time, don't text and drive.
If you actually think he could, and you know he's going from somewhere to somewhere, and you don't even want him to have the option.
Absolutely.
Pick up your phone real quick. Let me show you this. Click on the TeenSafe app.
Okay.
You see the pause button?
Yes.
Just hit pause.
Okay.
His phone is frozen.
No way.
My phone's locked. I can't do anything. I can't text.
For a parent, I think this is fantastic.
Your son will hate you, but you'll use it.
Yes, yes.
He'll be safe for that.
Yes, and that's the most important.
High-tech hovering that could make all the difference. Jeff Rawson, NBC News, Kinnelon, New Jersey.
A jaw-dropping sight caught on camera in Hawaii, a huge section of a new 26-acre island being formed by lava collapsed into the ocean. Park rangers say 5 tourists had gone past a safety rope for a closer look. They had to be pulled away minutes before the cliff they were on fell. Authorities have now shut that viewing area down. In Arizona, a mom and dad welcomed twin boys this weekend, but they don't share the same birthday or even the same birth year. Sawyer Shea was born 10 minutes before midnight on New Year's Eve 2016, and brother Everett was born 11 minutes later at 12:01 New Year's Day 2017. So Everett got the honor of being the hospital's first New Year's baby, but Sawyer can always claim to be the older brother. And all eyes are on another pair of siblings being born or make that hatched into the new world. So many are watching and waiting for a second eagle egg to hatch in Florida after the first little bird broke free of its shell on Saturday. The live streaming Eagle Cam has unexpectedly become must-see TV with nearly 67 million views since November 20th. It's a new year, and that means new laws going into effect. And here's one for everybody sick of getting work emails when they're off the clock. There is now a place where it's actually illegal for bosses to require employees to respond to those. But there's a catch. You'd have to leave the U.S. to reap the benefits. NBC's Keir Simmons explains.
France has long been the land of love, leisurely lunches, and short work weeks. Workers here quick to protest when their rights are questioned. And tonight, a new law in effect. Companies with more than 50 employees are barred from acquiring responses after hours to work-related emails. Music to the ears of many here.
Life isn't about work. We work to live, we are not living to work.
Adding the right to disconnect to a host of worker-friendly policies.
What we want to change is the habits, the professional habits to send an increasing number of email outside of normal working hours.
In the film The Devil Wears Prada, Anne Hathaway's overworked fashionista ends her torment by hurling her phone into the nearest Paris fountain. Today, some New Yorkers seem eager to follow suit.
I hope it's part of a bigger trend, really, that we're sort of like disconnecting a little bit more.
But going cold turkey may be harder than it seems. Studies in the US have found checking your emails only twice a day does reduce stress. But just the anticipation of emails after hours leaves many employees drained. Tonight, an au revoir to emails that may just start a fashion. Keir Simmons, NBC News, London.
Finally tonight, as we do every Monday, we're starting off the week and the year with something inspiring. Today, millions watched the annual Rose Parade, and one of those incredible floats featured some brave people beginning the new year with a new lease on life. Our Gadi Schwartz has tonight's Inspiring America report.
Beyond the Tournament of Roses marching bands and the crowds and the floats of every color, there is something more beautiful than the tens of thousands of roses.
I'm Jackie Garcia and I'm a cancer survivor.
You can connect it there.
This year, Jackie Garcia is part of a team of cancer survivors who worked on a float built by the City of Hope, a hospital and research center that has saved countless lives.
I feel very excited because it's an honor to be with my doctors up there.
The float for us represents everything we're trying to do, restore lives, bring them back to their communities and their family.
Oh, this looks great.
Before the parade, survivors putting the final touches on the display and recounting the struggle that cancer brings.
It's just disbelief. You know, why me? My God, I've never been sick a day in my life. You've got to take care of it now.
Rodrigo Nunez was once a migrant worker picking grapes in the fields of California until he was diagnosed for a rare form of anemia. Decades later, he is now a nurse in the very same hospital where doctors saved his life.
Where would you be without the doctor?
I wouldn't be here. I don't think I'll be alive.
Also on the float, LAPD Commander Ann Clark, now in remission from Hodgkin lymphoma.
I get to represent everybody that puts on a uniform and that has traveled the same path through cancer that I have.
But by far, the youngest is Jackie, who proudly showed us her careful handiwork and told us how doctors rebuilt her jaw with part of a bone they removed from her leg to save her from a deadly form of sarcoma.
I feel like normal again.
Now bringing in 2017 with another year of hope.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Gadi Schwartz, NBC News, Pasadena, California.
Just beautiful. That'll do it for us on this Monday night. Lester will be back here tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow. For all of us at NBC News, thanks so much for watching. Have a great night.